Future of Jobs.
Future of Jobs.
Future of Jobs.
You are listening to the Future of Jobs podcast, powered by the APSA Business Day Supplier Development Awards.
People have written papers that SMEs and the problem of small businesses is access to funding. Right? It's a problem that SMEs face today. But for me, that's not the major problem. The major problem is access to markets.
Good day and welcome to this Future of Jobs podcast with the APSA Business Day Supplier Development Awards. In this episode, we're going to be talking about employment, skills and workforce strategy in supplier development. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and I'm going to be joined by APSA's Chief Procurement Officer, that is Vusi Fele, who will be focusing on the role of supplier development in economic growth, especially in the aftermath of the pandemic, the impact of COVID-19 on supply chains, supplier development in the digital era, and other related issues. Vusi, greetings to you.
Greetings, Mudiwa, and the Supply Development Awards community. It is a pleasure to come and chat and just share thoughts on this very important subject regarding igniting our economies through supply development and using tools that are at our disposal, which are in this instance is technology.
Now, touching on that technology, how has supplier development been transformed in the digital era? And whilst you're answering that, how has all of that been impacted by the one thing that all of us can't escape at the moment, that's COVID-19?
Which is COVID. Yeah, definitely. If you think about supply development and the genesis thereof, is about two entities coming together and complementing each other on their skills to differentiate their markets.
Yeah.
The one being the entrepreneur, i.e. a supplier, will then come and say, I've got a solution for your problem, APSA, which might be payment hubs. Right. And then I will then, from APSA perspective, be procuring the value, which is the services which you provide and solve my problem with. But then you will find then there is a blend of skills that have come together there. From an APSA point of view, how do I articulate my problem statement? And then how do I then distribute the my problem, i.e. via communication and letting you know as an entrepreneur that I have a problem. In the past, it and which is still prevalent today, even in with your state-owned entities whereby tenders are the vehicle of producing or communicating and distributing problem statements for entrepreneurs to catch. Right? And that has, even within in our digital age, has not changed much. That's why if you look at in the old days, even with the print media, and then with related advertising that comes with that, you will see that Yellow Pages was the most known vehicle for distribution and communicating of problems, and then people who got solution will put their hands up. Now, in the COVID era that we are seeing today, right, we are not able to physically distribute that. We then need online platforms to be able then to deliver the message, and then for the problem solver being the entrepreneur to come and say, I've got a proposition, but it's going to cost you some investment. So, but then from the entrepreneur side, then communicating skills are quite important in terms of saying, what is your value proposition? And then how then do you construct your pitch to meet with my value proposition, and that I can see that definitely if I do my business with Mudiwa, then I'll be able to get the solution I'm looking for. You talked about COVID has disrupted our lives. Yes, definitely. From a livelihood perspective, finding our economy, specifically in South Africa, being sluggish, right? But then how do we pivot from that? If you think about today's problem that we face regarding the vaccine distribution, which what has impacted us, the bedrock of success is supply chain. The bedrock of success is producers or suppliers of services and goods within the supply chain. Mm. So from a pharmaceutical industries back to your laboratories, you need one through the supply chain. That's where the supply development and development programs comes in place. So I cannot do today programs that I used to do them in the past, i.e. We need entrepreneurs to come to learn in my classroom. How do I deliver my content of now saying, Modiba, you've got a very great technical solution, but however, they identify there's a gap in your delivery, i.e. Execution. How do I teach people program management via online tools? I think that's where we'll find the answers in solving for what we have today.
Now, technology has become very important because, as you said, people can't distribute things physically the way that they did, and digital has become the channel through which a lot of people are doing things. But inside digital, we now in South Africa have to think about the digital divide and by extension the income divide.
Yeah.
What strategies do we have, you know, that can be used to actually bridge some of those issues?
Yeah, I think first and foremost you must start at the apex between what government can do to produce a conducive environment.
Mm.
What do I mean by that? If you look at the connection between income divide and digital divide, it's the same coin but two sides of the same coin.
Mm.
So it's not either or. The solutions can never be either or.
Yeah.
We need to first solve amongst others the income divide in order to quickly and efficiently and effectively address the digital divide.
Mm.
What the income divide does for us is we've got fault lines of inequalities of income.
Mm.
But not only just on the whole set of society. You've got there within some subsets in terms of demographics between gender inequalities of income, where there is your pay parities are not in the right place between gender, male and female.
Mm.
Then you've got societal impact. You've got status issues between people in Soweto and people in Sandton are not of the equal status from an economy and income perspective.
Yeah.
So when you address that, then you start now getting solutions for digital penetration because you will need people to buy affordable digital devices.
Mm.
That smartphones today.
Yeah.
That's why you see there's a lot of crime that's happening. People steal your Galaxy 7 and only to use it to say hello, Modiba. But embedded in there is quite powerful tools that can change people's lives.
Mm.
So that talks to them to another strategy to say, how do we ensure that we educate and empower people to understand how to use the devices and the skills to be able to use the apps that are embedded in that device.
Mm.
Then we talk about infrastructure issues because, as I use again the same example, we are in the same Gauteng province here where we're speaking today. However, the access of infrastructure in Sandton and is not equal to the access in Deep Kloof, right? You will find that even though everybody's on the same some frequency or broadband of some sort, but the access to the broadband is lacking, and there's more bandwidth within in Sandton, and there's less bandwidth in Soweto. And that would then also talk to the education divide that we speak about, which is social divide, which are all these things are intersecting.
Yeah.
So by solving the digital divide and solving the income divide, we solve how to reignite the economy and create social cohesion.
So with all of that you've just highlighted, there's the income divide, which is, as you say, is, you know, I guess the same coin as the digital divide. You can't separate the issues.
Yeah.
How does supplier development then come in to solve, you know, some of these issues?
Yeah. So supplier development comes in play, as I said, then the entrepreneurs that are within the supplier development programs need to build certain skills, which for me are quite important from an entrepreneur DNA perspective.
Mm.
Critical thinking, right? Design, communication, execution. Then all of these, when they come together, that entrepreneur will be able to come in the space and solve for the problems of society. And then how do we pivot, therefore, the supply development programs is to ensure that we not only focus today when people assess entrepreneurs, can I see your company, what you call a capability statement, which is a company profile.
Yeah.
And it reads nice. But the person behind it knows only 10% of what is the content there because somebody else wrote that for them. So we need to also solve for cognitive skills, right? And then cognitive skills got different levels. You can go to metacognitive skills, which is now learning to learn, et cetera, et cetera. And then you need to then to solve and pivot supply chain programs and solve problems, right? Supply chain programs must move away from investing in just administrative gaps that companies have. Pivot that and invest more, I'll say for me, if you were to put a percentage, 80-20, 80% solve for the softer skills of the entrepreneur. I think that's where we need, because this supply chain industry is said to be about worth 37 billion rand now, and yet we don't see the impact. So that means then we need to refocus the intervention programs, redesign the intervention programs to be able to have an impact, not only just on entrepreneurs being profitable and sustainable, but therefore contributing to social cohesion, creating jobs, and then creating new product sets, therefore creating customers. So if a supply program of today is worth mentioning, if it does not impact jobs, is not worth investing in. If it does not create new products, because you find that entrepreneurs go for the same product, how about creating new products? But we also have got a gender and also sort of a democratic dividend that we should think about. That Africa is a youth-based
economy. Yeah.
How then do we ensure that the youth that we have today, right, are problem solvers? Than going to universities that come out there with very big degrees and they go line up on the corner of the street is quite heartbreaking. So by creating the right critical thinking skills and problem solving skills and be able to analyze situations and see opportunities will then create entrepreneurs. So I think the South African economy and the South African policy environment need to pivot from school-based thinking and job creation to go to schools and design education programs that create future entrepreneurs who then, for those that are not coming up in the apex, will then be recipients of the new jobs and new skills.
Now, you mentioned a number of issues there that are facing the country, small businesses, etc. The number I'm still sitting on is the 37 billion, you know, that you've just mentioned. And I'm now thinking, what are the challenges when it actually comes to businesses actually plugging into the supply chains of a large corporate such as yours? You're the chief procurement officer. So how, you know, what are the challenges that these small businesses usually face when they're trying to plug into those supply chains?
Well, people have written papers that SMMEs and then the problem of small businesses is access to funding. Right? It's a problem that SMMEs face today. But for me, that's not the major problem. The major problem is access to markets. Because we can have access to, we can have all the funds you might amass, right? If then you don't have customers to consume your products or your services, you then will be owing the banks that have funded you or owing your investors who are looking for a return on investment, and you're sitting with the capital at hand. So we need to first solve access to market, but then it's a joint issue. One, corporates must open up their doors. And I said earlier, how do I distribute my problems and be able to articulate what my problem is? On then the receiving end, the entrepreneurs must be able to access, right, the platforms whereby I say I've got a problem to solve, i.e., there's a contract that I can be able to meet out. Entrepreneur tenders and provides a competitive bid and a proposal, and then they win the contract. So access to market is key, but it's not only a big corporate issue, right? It's also an entrepreneur, small businesses being available to take on the opportunities. Once I solve the access to market, it then becomes an issue of funding. How then, therefore, do we ensure that we've got the right funds at the right level of the small suppliers' growth? Some suppliers don't need big funds. They just need to be able to manage cash flow. So that's why institutions like ourselves at APSA have got products whereby we can have discount your invoices. Because what COVID has done, we see big corporates that are starting to extend their payment terms.
Yeah.
Instead of paying a supplier within 30 days, they're paying suppliers now on average in 45 and 60 days. Mm. So in between then, the small business needs cash flow.
Yeah.
How can then the financial institutions have bridging finance, which are very short-term basis and at attractive rates for the entrepreneur, and thereby creating that access, and then pivot the funding products as entrepreneurs grow in terms of their capacity and capability, then have equity funding that is available today. There's so much talk about empowerment financing, right? Which for buying equities, but then there's no short-term financing that is available that we are bridging. And APSA has got products in that space that we've done. And if I were to talk about APSA today, just so to showcase how we have impacted that space.
Yeah.
As a chief procurement officer for APSA, we spent another big number to give you 21 billion on goods and services. Out of that spend, 57% of our spend today is with 51% and up to 100% owned black entities.
Yeah.
That has not just happened just by fluke. It was quite deliberate programs we put in place to support the SMMEs. We spend about 5 billion of that with black women owned entities. We started to focus as well on youth entities, as I talk about the democratic dividend earlier, whereby we spent already almost 200 million with about 17 youth owned entities, right? Because we think about the future today.
Mm.
Yeah.
As we round up the discussion, there's a lot that you've just said, and especially that 21 billion that you spoke about, as in that's the role that APSA is playing.
Yeah.
When it comes to, I guess, empowering the 57% that you mentioned, all of that. Now, when it comes to the so-called township economies, it's been a big focus by government. We need to grow these things. You've already mentioned where you guys are falling when it comes to small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But as a whole, if we take a step back, what is the role of the private sector when it actually comes to growing those economies?
Well, for me, the issue is a development of the total economy and then breaking it down to where the services are needed. When you say a township economy, how is a township economy different from an urban economy?
Mm.
Right? Township economies are different from urban economies in that it is self-sustenance. Mm. The go-go was selling amagwinya for the construction workers who are building a school from a government program. But if you really think futuristically, that go-go who's selling amagwinya is a, if you can think of investment in that space from a supply driven ignition, that go-go is saying, I'm a potential confectionery that needs equipment to be able to mass produce a variety of products, divert from amagwinya to doing healthy products for the workers who are in construction, et cetera, et cetera. So township economy is just a subset of the bigger economy. But we need to ensure that we have relevance of products, right, and services within the townships, and then contribute to the overall GDP of the nation.
A presence and relevance in the township economies.
Yes.
Yes. So those are the words of APSA's Chief Procurement Officer, Vusi Fele, giving us some insight into what they're doing as APSA around supplier development, how they're seeing it as one of the potential roles for economic growth, especially in the aftermath of the pandemic, the impact of COVID-19 on supply chains, and some of the initiatives that the bank is involved in when trying to support more small businesses. So this has been the APSA Business Day Supply Chain Awards podcast, which aim to celebrate companies using supply development to build thriving, inclusive, and transformative supply chains.
The APSA Business Day Supplier Development Awards celebrates companies using supplier development to build thriving, inclusive, and transformative supply chains. They encourage supplier development, foster sector-wide skills transfer, promote industry collaboration, and provide an annual benchmark of supplier development good practice. To join the growing network of companies that are contributing to a sustainable economy through supplier development, simply go to www.sdaawards.co.za today.